Thank you for downloading the State of the Art 2017 podcast. Look us up at soa.ics.ac.uk and join us in Westminster from December the 10th to the 12th, 2018.
So, hello everyone. I'm Paul. I'm an intensive care specialist from Wellington in New Zealand. It's my pleasure to chair this session along with Emma Graham-Clark. So the way that this is going to work is we've got five speakers. They get 10 minutes each and 5 minutes for questions. We're going to do the questions after each talk, and we'll kind of give a signal when there's 2 minutes left of talking to go. So our first speaker talking about supporting the patient innovator, a novel communication device for tracheostomy patients in the intensive care unit, is Fiona Howard.
Good afternoon. My name is Fiona Howroyd. I'm a physiotherapist at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Birmingham. And on behalf of our research team, I'd like to share our experiences in supporting the patient innovator in developing a novel communication device for tracheostomy patients in the ITU. So, just to introduce the research problem of communication, as I'm sure we're all aware as clinicians in the ITU, communication is a barrier and a challenge for our patients in the intensive care unit. Our patients are often ventilated because of tracheostomy, and that in itself inhibits vocalisation and speech. But coupled with that, our patients are weak and often suffering from injury due to critical illness, which inhibits non-verbal means of communication as well as that, such as use of pen and paper or hand gestures, for example. The barriers to communication are thought to have both short and long-term negative consequences on the patient. So as we've all experienced, our patients become more and more frustrated, feel helpless, and become more and more socially withdrawn in the intensive care unit. And as clinicians as well, we feel that frustration. Longer term, this is thought to correlate with feelings of anxiety and depression for our critical care patients, which are all thought to be factors to post-traumatic stress after critical illness. AAC, or augmented and alternative communication devices, may offer some support to patient communication in the intensive care unit, and this may be high or low technology. So devices we are familiar with, such as communication boards or simply the use of pen and paper, and to high-tech devices like iPads or eye gaze trackers, for example. However, when looking at the research and the use of AAC in the intensive care unit, both high and low tech AAC have practical and financial limitations and very restricted use in the intensive care unit. Personally, when using things like pen and paper or communication boards, they're very long-winded, withdrawn, and often very unsuccessful, particularly for a patient that's quite weak in the critical care unit. The more high-tech devices, such as iPads and eye gaze trackers, aren't very readily available. They're often expensive and very difficult to use. And for our patients in the intensive care unit, where voicelessness is an acute and transient experience because of acute illness, we don't have the time and the facilities to input the training that's required to use these devices. When looking at the literature, and a lot of the AAC devices available, none of them actually look at the use specifically for the ITU patient. So a lot of them are for the complex care patients, maybe spinal cord injuries or neurological patients in the community environment, but none of them look at specifically for use within the ITU. So when we're thinking about development of devices and research development, we need to think about the human-centred factors and the usability specific for our population. So this leads me on to Duncan, our patient innovator. So Duncan was unfortunately involved in a road traffic accident many years ago, where he required quite an extensive intensive care stay at our Queen Elizabeth Hospital unit. He sustained polytrauma, which meant he required a tracheostomy for a long period, a ventilator weaning, and was able to use his limbs to help support with communication. Despite his long period of hospital admission and rehabilitation, him and his wife Lisa, on reflection, feel that communication was a massive barrier to their recovery and their rehabilitation. They use things like alphabet boards, which they found very frustrating and very long-winded. And I feel from Lisa's reflections of this experience, she felt very helpless trying to help Duncan with his recovery. So what Duncan did is help to develop a novel interactive AAC device called the ICU chat software. And Duncan innovated this based on his experience in the intensive care unit. What the software does is uses facial gestures to control an on-screen cursor to select phrases with a vocal output, So the communication on offer, yes, is quite simple and basic, but offers a means of independent communication for the intensive care patient. Duncan was embedded within a team at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital and the intensive care unit, and with that collaboration with speech and language therapists, physiotherapists, nurses, and research fellows and doctors, we were able to elaborate this concept into research. We also involved the University of Birmingham and the Human Interface Technologies team, who have been involved with other research within interactive technologies in the intensive care unit at the Queen Elizabeth. And with this stakeholder group, we were able to take this novel idea forward into something that is hopefully going to be usable and take forward into a research trial. So through a patient-centred design process, the device was developed through rigorous usability assessment and testing. What we found from this was that patients and staff preferred a forward-facing camera from an iPad device, and the stand that needed to be mobile and free to move within an acute and busy setting such as the intensive care unit. And what we hope that has been developed is a device that is safe, infection control friendly, practical, low cost, and hopefully usable by the ICU patients, again where their communication deficit is a transient thing because of their critical illness, and hopefully won't take a lot of time to learn how to use by staff or by patients. However, although this sounds like a great concept and certainly looks good by the lab geeks, what we need to know is this is something that's actually usable within the intensive care unit. And for us to know this is usable, we need to think about a clinical trial and research to test this. So what our team at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital have done is developed a clinical trial to assess the feasibility of implementing the ICU chat device in the critical care. What we've hoped to do is add a different perspective to the research already available in communication through a mixed methods trial design, assessing usability, user performance with the ICU chat device, but also collecting qualitative data as well to explore patient experiences, not only at the time of their communication difficulties, but on follow-up once they've had the return of their voice. Also differently to other areas of research, we're aiming that we'll collect data from not only just patients, but their relatives and other communication partners, such as nursing staff in the bed space as well. So in conclusion, although this research is very early, hopefully it demonstrates that we're able to embody the patient within the clinical and academic teams to support the potential patient innovator. And for patient-centred care, we need and require patient-centred research. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Yeah, that was a superb example of experience-based care design. Really impressive. Have you found a difference in perception between the patient's contribution to the project and staff contribution? Do they see things differently, or is there a great deal of overlap?
Yes, they do see things differently, but there's an element of overlap as well. And I think certainly for staff from the hospital setting, they can see the patient's perspective. And engineering and the university side of things may be a slightly different edge, maybe wanting a device or technology that looks good, but we can certainly bring that into something that's usable and safe within the intensive care unit. Definitely. I think this is very early days of its implementation. It's certainly not offering free open speech and communication, just simple one-word answers. So hopefully in the next stages following this research, if this is feasible and successful, we can develop it further.
Interesting, because it is interesting, the concept, the difference between what a patient wants and what we as clinicians think the patient wants. So that would be a really interesting area to explore. Is there any other questions? Is it the right?
How is the software used in each of the hands?
Sorry, say that again.
How's it used?
How is it used? So it's a facial tracker. So there's a webcam on the laptop which tracks a point on the patient's face, so they can then use a cursor on the screen to select the phrases they wish, which is different to other devices that maybe use eye gaze, which require a lot of concentration, a lot of time and training needs. But hopefully, despite critical illness weakness, a patient still would have that gross head movement to be able to use the device, hopefully.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's great.